Oh dear. This is the thing that whenever I was invited to speak and then I was introduced, then all of my achievements were mentioned and then all of the pressures go up and up and up and up, especially when you have degrees and you have flying colors and everything. Then stress and pressure goes up and up and up. It will never go down. But today I was so privileged enough when Mom Sherry messaged me that invited me to speak here in chapel, and I said, again? Because the first time around when I preach, that was because of a class requirement, preaching class requirement. So, and this time it's not a class requirement, it's an invitation. Oh dear. Really an oh dear. So the first time around when I speak here, I could hardly stop my knee moving because it's shaking again and again, but this time still the same. So the scripture that we read is Matthew chapter 22. And me as a should we say a newbie in the ministry, a newbie in the field where God has called me, just a fresh graduate of APN, the best and the great APNTS. Do you agree? Oh no. The voice is like so slow. It is like a privilege for us, a young pastor, to speak in this, should I say, huge gathering. Huge gathering. So Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to through 14. We'll be talking about wear your appropriate attire. Can you see the person next to you if somebody is wearing that appropriate attire? I think those laughters means yes. Right? Wear your appropriate attire. Clothes sometimes define a person. Agree? What type of clothes we wear? What brand we wear? If there's a big, how to pronounce it? Gucci? Oh, you know it? When there's a big brand like here in your shirt and then you could walk head held high. I have this brand. It's so expensive. This shirt is worth 50,000 pesos. Wow. Who sewed it? Who among us here know what? Who sewed Miss Philippines' dress during that crowning moment? Nobody knows. Good. But there's somebody who sewed it. His name is so famous that I forget as well. But he's famous. I mean, he or she, I don't know. He. Perfect. So it's a he. He's a he. Fashion, I mean, clothings define a person. Sometimes it goes with individual, it goes with groups. It may reflect our economic status, even our character. Sometimes, as I said, it goes with groups. Are we in uniform with the group that we belong? Just like this thing, that's us. I'm ashamed to show it, but I don't have a choice because it's already in my slide. That's us when we were still in our Bible college, graduating students. That's just the basketball team. Or something like this. Woohoo! Woohoo! I asked Luz yes for this, and he said yes. So, sometimes it goes with groups. Are we in uniform with one another? Are we in uniform with our brothers and sisters? If in our chapel, everyone is required to wear long pants and shoes, and then we wear slippers and shorts, then we are like outcast of the group, right? It goes with groups as well, which defines our identity. I'm not really into fashion. Whatever clothes that I have in the closet, when I see it, that's it. But I know that many occasions or events do require appropriate fashion, correct? Example, if you're invited to a mountain climbing, you will not wear something like this. That's a mountain climbing friend. Or if you're invited to a swimming party. You will not wear something like this. That's a swimming party. Come on. You know it. In this parable, it has to do with a man who does not wear his proper attire for an occasion, and therefore suffered the consequences, terrible consequences that nobody liked just because he did not wear his appropriate attire. So, go on. Verse 1 of, you saw it already. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 22. If you have your scriptures with you printed or in your cell phones, you can open it and follow after me as we will go through the scripture in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come." Telling the invited guests to come, no, implies that prior to that great festivity of the wedding banquet, they were already invited. There was an invitation already. They just do not know the exact time of the banquet. Thus, the presence of the messengers telling them to come is very important because the time is now. It is very necessary. It's like the second coming. We know that it will come. We just do not know exactly when. Verse 4. Then he sent some more of the servants and said, "Tell those who had been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." It was the second time around, and yet nobody came. One thing that's interesting here is that the invitation to come, take note, is in a form of command. Command, but not in a forceful manner. It is, if there's such a word, like a pleaful manner, like, "Come, please," but it's a command. The sense of urgency is there to respond what's expected. Verse 5, "But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." They were businessmen or businesswomen during their time. "The rest," this is sad, "because the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and worst of all, killed them." Whoa, what a thing. Why should the invited guest took the unnecessary action of seizing, mistreating, and killing? What is the fault of these humble messengers whose only goal was to relay the hospitable invitation, right? If you are the messenger, what will you say? "I was just asked by the king, and there you are, mistreating me, hurting me. What in the world? What are you doing?" Right? But that's what happened here. The servants, the messengers, were treated badly by those the invited guests chosen by the king. Verse 7, "The king was enraged." Of course, if you are the king, you would feel the same. "He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city." That's the judgment that we want, right? Like if you look at some movies, like if there's the protagonist in the movie will being treated badly at the beginning, and in the end, the protagonist will somehow hurt again the protagonist. Oh, very good. The antagonist. If that will happen, we'll say, do it, right? Because that's what we want. That's what we expected in the movies. And the same thing here. The movies followed what the scripture said. It's a joke, actually. Like my mom. When my mom will watch a movie, she will, like, so affected with the movie. She will cry. She will laugh. And then she will feel angry or happy, whatever. That's what happened here in the parable. The king sent his armies and destroyed those murderers. And not just destroyed, he burned their city. But the question was, like, Since nobody came, what happened now to the banquet? If there's a banquet, there's what? Food. What happened to the food? It's a royal wedding. Come on. There's more than lechon being prepared. But there's a second part of the parable. Actually, there's no second part. I just called it the second part. The first part, I called it... Where's my second part? First part, I called it, the food is ready, come while it's hot. The second part, I called it, thank you for not coming. Verse 8, because he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. There's a difference from the beginning because they made themselves not deserving to come to the party by a continuous neglect of the invitation. Right? So, verse 9. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Wow. Anyone in the street corners, anyone that they could find, invite them. I don't know if anyone includes those who rejected the invitation. Anyway, the king already burned their city and destroyed those murderers. The thing here is that everyone was invited, regardless of who they are, their status in the society. In fact, the next verse tells us that, verse 10, so the servants went out into the street corners and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. I was like, my interest goes to this when the invited guest was the bad as well as the good, because when we define or when we try to call on somebody, we would say the first description should be the first word, right? The good and the bad. But here it's the bad and the good, the handsome and not so handsome, the beautiful and the not so beautiful. Something like our preference should come first, but here the bad was mentioned first. So, the servants going to the street corners reach out to the common people. Reach out to who? To the bad as well as the good. I think there's an emphasis on that. After all, Jesus came for the bad, for the unhealthy, us. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait for us to change first before he will come. Verse 10. But when the king came in to see the guests, the wedding hall was filled with guests already. But there is this thing. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed something wrong. He noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Just like that in the picture during Lou's wedding. Oh, Sarah is here. That was their wedding. And if you will not wear something that the same, maybe one of them will kick us out. Right? He noticed there was something wrong. Remember that Jesus here was telling a parable in contrast to the Jewish religious leaders' teachings and practices. The man not wearing wedding clothes was most probably represented by them. The man has clothes. That's the thing. He has clothes. Of course, he will not go naked. He has clothes, but it's not appropriate for the occasion. It's just that it's not appropriate for the occasion. Not appropriate attire for the occasion. In the ancient world, it was said that in the real wedding, the king provided the clothes to wear for his guest. It was actually Augustine who first mentioned it, but to some extent, we could not prove. But the king provided. For my last semester here at APNTS, I joined the choir. Ma'am Becky is not here, right? And Dr. Philip, so they're not here. I joined the choir by force. Because it is required in our theology of worship class. I was thinking, when I was in my elementary years, I joined the choir. High school, still in the choir. college, still in the choir. Masteral, the same. I tried to step back, but they still got me. So I was in. So every time the choir will sing during chapel, we were given something like this. I don't know how you call it. That thing. We were given something like that. We can't join the choir if you didn't have it around our necks. I mean, I do not know what's the purpose of this. It will not enhance our voice. It will not make our voice louder or whatever. But we are required to wear something like this. So, we have to follow. And if not, maybe you will be kicked out in the group, no? It's like our entry to join the choir singing. So just recently, like a month ago, I received an invitation from Pastora Mamre. If you know Pastora Mamre, she is also a graduate of APNTS. And I'm so proud of her. And I received an invitation of her wedding with Engineer Jomar. In the invitation, it was written, "May we advise our guests to come in formal attire." These are the examples of the attire. And when I said yes to the invitation, I should follow the rule that I will wear something formal, or else one of them will kick me out, even if I am her senior pastor, right? So when we said yes to the invitation, we are bound to follow this. In this parable, when all people in all walks of life was invited to the wedding banquet, and when they said yes to the invitation, they were expected by the king to abide the wedding rule. In this case, wear your appropriate attire. However, one man failed to do so, then later on suffered the consequence. That terrible consequence. Verse 12. The king asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes?" "Friend," wow, very friendly, the king. The man was speechless. And when someone is speechless, we know that someone is guilty. The man knew exactly that he was in trouble, that his response was nothing but silence. It was like this funny meme that I saw on Facebook. I was following Facebook here, even though you're doing requirements, do Facebook sometimes, but limited. It's just like this. I am caught. Should I teleport now? If there's one power that I would like to possess, teleportation. Right? To avoid traffic in Manila. You could teleport everywhere you want. The question, however, was that, how did the man, not wearing that appropriate clothes, manage to come inside? Remember, this is a kingdom, because there's a king. Of course, a king will not be a king without a kingdom. So I was thinking of three things. Three things comes to mind. First, either he sneaked in to get inside that no one noticed, but this is a kingdom. Or two, maybe he jumped over the walls of the palace and that no one noticed. Possible? I don't know. Maybe he's a long jumper, whatever. These two assumptions might be very impossible. Because we were talking here about a palace, the most secured place, because the king is not just any other king, he is the King of Kings. You cannot just sneak in to get inside. Or third, most probably he was one of the invited guests who once had the right attire. But when he was inside, thinking that no one will ever see or notice him, or maybe even after knowing that he is not right, he decided to remove his clothes for whatever reason. And that's the saddest part. Because removing it was his biggest terrible mistake. because it disqualifies him to stay inside the palace and participate in that grand celebration that the king prepared for them. The man was caught in an inappropriateness, showed disrespect to the host, and when proved guilty of such inappropriateness or misbehavior, the next verse tells us what happened. Verse 13, the king told his attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One thing is for sure, inside the kingdom is full of light, and outside of it is the exact opposite. When it comes to weeping and gnashing of teeth, the same book in the book of Matthew chapter 13, it says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, right? His angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As a joke one says, there's a joke, what about those who doesn't have teeth? The joke answered, God will provide. So that you have teeth to gnash. The question therefore is that, what is that appropriate attire? Or what should be the appropriate attire for that man to stay inside, has all the privilege to stay inside the palace and participate in that grand celebration that the king prepared for them? Remember that the parable is all about the kingdom of heaven. The king invited everyone to come inside. In this kingdom, in order for people to enter, they need to clothe themselves. Because this is a kingdom in heaven, we need to clothe ourselves Christ. We need to clothe ourselves that right attitude. Clothe ourselves with Christ by virtue of having faith in Him. We need to clothe ourselves Christ, who will change us, transform us moment by moment. Gradually, it may not be an overnight transformation, but it will transform us. Imagine when that man who did not wear an appropriate attire, when the king looked at the guest and he noticed only one man who did not wear proper attire. Imagine the invited guest or the bad as well as the good. They were not all good people were there, not just. But the king noticed one man only. The bad, I mean the man not wearing that proper attire, that appropriate attire. Somehow, people who wear that right attire, even though they are not yet entirely sanctified, they were justified by the king. But it's not a license for us to go on sinning, because anyway, the king will just look at my clothes. It's not a license for us to go on doing the things that we want, because after all, at the end of the day, we are accountable for our actions. And this cloth will transform us from within, will change us moment by moment from within. It will not make us the same person, it will make us a better person. It will not just make us somebody or a nobody, it will make us a child of God who was invited to join the kingdom, the royal wedding. Wow, and we are all waiting for that day to come, right? For students, maybe, especially for these last three weeks, right? You will have your final exams, wear that readiness attire. Do not just pray, study. And pray, and study, and pray. Wear your proper attire for an occasion. Me, as a newbie in the ministry, a new pastor, a young pastor in the ministry, I should wear my right attire, appropriate attire as a pastor. Not just with this, but even with this. With this, we should wear that proper attire for us to be qualified, or else we'll be thrown out into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord bless us all.